Hello, we are back. Dog in the Spotlight Season 2. I'm George Sainsbury and I'm here again with Lorraine, I was about to say. Lori Cavello-Phillips.
Got my name, hello.
And we have a new presenter and it is actually Lori Cavello-Phillips' husband, Ash. Hi,
hello.
Ash.
Hello, hello.
Now, Trevor Gertlock, friend and vet, will be back, but he is actually on vacation at the moment, so we'll be doing a few episodes without him, but he has helped Ash, who will be looking at the health side of the breed with his notes, etc. However, since we last spoke, the world was on lockdown.
Gosh.
It was 2 years ago, and we're like, let's get back onto Dog in the Spotlight. And I'd like to thank everyone on Instagram who's been messaging saying, oh, when's the next episode out? When's the next episode out? But things have changed. Mm-hmm. And Lori Cavello-Phillips, do you have a dog?
I don't.
No.
Still on the hunt.
However, I have a dog. She is 2 years old. She is a miniature schnauzer, so she is my third miniature schnauzer. And actually, it's the first girl dog I've ever had. And her name is Margot. And the funny thing is, do you remember we were looking through the episodes? We always talk about what we'd call our dogs.
Yes, Margot.
And I'd always say, oh, I'd never get a girl dog, but if I ever get a girl dog, I'd call it Margot. Mm-hmm. Anyway, when we got her, when we went to get her, they only had a girl and a black miniature schnauzer left. And I was saying to my husband, oh, I'm so used to having boys' dogs. That's what I've always grown up with. Do I really want a girl dog? And now I don't think I'd go back. I mean, I'm not, I don't mind the genders, but I do love the girl dog. It's you've always had girl dogs.
I would only personally have a girl dog amongst actually the many other stipulations we've discovered on this show.
Yeah.
I would have a girl dog and Ash says the same thing.
But you grew up like me with boys' dogs. So what makes you change your mind always having a girl dog?
I think having a girl dog, I don't know. I don't think it's anything to do with the temperament. Just felt like things were a little bit tidier.
It's a neater undercarriage.
Do you know... this is meant to be a child-friendly episode. But I know what you mean. Like, I like Margot's little tummy. I love, like, kissing it, like, blowing little raspberries on it. But I'd be getting... I wouldn't be anti a male dog at all. And Joshua is always like, no, I want a girl and a boy dog, which is absolutely fine. But actually, I'm surprised... I was so loved. Yeah. Like, she is such a gorgeous dog. Mm. So, again, she lives up to those the temperament of a schnauzer. She's very loyal, playful. One thing she is very lazy, which usually schnauzers aren't as lazy as her. But she is a bit of a barker. Lori would have to agree.
Yes, and I think, actually, going back onto that loyalty point, loyal to an absolute fault.
Yeah.
In that if you and Joshua, your husband Joshua, are in the room... She takes it upon herself to guard against everybody, even the same people who left the room and returned five seconds later.
But then she'll relax. So it would be like a quick bark and then probably 30 seconds it's over. But every person who comes in, it's like a new person. Mm-hmm. But the funny thing is when we're not there and we have friends who look after her, she's like, never barks, ever barks. Mm-hmm. So it is...
She feels that you can't protect yourself is the problem. She feels you need defence from, you know, a little 15
Thanks,
pounds.
Ash. That was... Okay, okay. Let's have a... Do you know what? Margaret's going to be barking at you in a minute. Because she's never been that keen on you. She likes Ash, never keen on Lori.
She's got dementia.
Anyway, we're back and we are going to have the same format. We're going to put a dog in the spotlight and we're going to have dog in the news. But our dog today, which we're going to be looking at, is the Bernese Mountain Dog. But before we go into that, let's hear from Lori Cavello-Phillips. Dog in the news. So, Lori, what has been happening in the news, the dog news, recently?
So, there has been a study that actually was only published about a week ago from Queen's University in Belfast, and it looked into how dogs detect stress in humans. Now, we know that dogs are really great at recognising different emotions in humans, and they were trying to discover if they can do this just through, actually, the scent of our sweat and breath. And it was found that dogs are able to detect stress from different sweat samples without ever seeing the human themselves. So this is really helpful in terms of training therapy dogs and service dogs, but again just shows these talents that dogs have that are just absolutely amazing.
It's so funny you should say that, because with Margot, we don't really get that stress often. But if we're suddenly getting a bit stressed around the house trying to find something, you can see her demeanour changes. And I'm not sure if she's picked up on the audio cues, the visual cues.
Yes.
But they do meant to pick up, like I was watching a series about dogs, and they can literally pick up the heartbeat. Their hearing picks up the heartbeat if it's stressed. And you really get that with Margot and other dogs, I can imagine.
So it omitted a lot of those factors, because I don't know anyone who stresses probably less than you, George. But when you do stress, you are flappy. So anybody within a 5 mile radius can see your stress, because your hands are stressed, your body is stressed, and your voice is very high. So nevertheless,
only dogs can hear me. Is that what you're saying, Lowry? Again, Margot's growling at Lowry because she's bullying me. Thank you, Margot. I need protection.
But if they took all of those very dramatic cues away, Margot should still be able to pick out the difference in your sweat when you're stressed and not stressed.
And so this research, what are they going to hopefully do with it? How is that going to help? Or it might not say in the article, but how do you imagine that's going to help things
coming
on?
Well, I think it's just going to go on to help the training of dogs that are
service dogs,
so that it makes them more astute in order to react to their owners. And then I guess it opens up the ability of dogs and who they can support even more.
They're just this is why we do this podcast, because they're such amazing animals in every aspect. Thank you for that. Season two, we've already established a number of dog breeds we want to talk about, but we thought let's do the Bernese Mountain Dogs to start with, because since being a dog owner and going to dog parks, going to different dog beaches, etc., a dog breed that I see a lot of, which I never used to, is the Bernese Mountain Dog. Have you seen lots of those?
I have. I don't know whether it's one of those things that, because perhaps you pointed it out, you start to see it everywhere, but I do feel as though I've seen it more and more in the last couple of years.
Definitely. Ash, do you see them a lot?
Yeah, I feel like there's two people around here which have them, and so I feel like I see them all the time.
The same ones over and over again.
Can't fight with those large numbers. Yes.
However, when you do go to a dog park, my husband and I are always like, there's another Bernese Mountain Dog, there's another one. And
those
I can
two.
Those two. There's two, really?
There are two in Chicago. But,
Ash, did you know that was a Bernese Mountain Dog when you saw them, those two?
No.
Or did you know anything about the Bernese Mountain Dog before you did your research?
No, but I would say it's kind of a dog that you would that's kind of striking. So it's notice it, and then if you see it again, it's like, oh, you've seen another one of those.
It is one of those ones where it is a striking breed. It's a very elegant breed. It's a very majestic breed. I think when I look at it, I do take note of it. And I can see why it's become a popular breed. But let's look into the history of the Bernese Mountain Dog. So it started off in Switzerland, but its roots came from the Romans with their herding dogs back in the day when they were taking over many parts of Europe. And it was mixed with a now extinct breed, the Roman Mastiff. And it was it became really an accompanied men, families and villages up in the Swiss Alps. And it would be dairymen and herders in a place called Senn. And the Bernese refers to an area of where the breed came along from Bern. And it was originally kept just as a general farm dog. So it would guard property, it would drive cattle through the mountain ranges. And one thing I found really interesting, because back in the day, if you were a poor farmer and you couldn't afford a horse, they would actually cart milk and cheese to the market, and they were known as a cheese dog. But you can see why they're quite a stocky breed. They're quite a strong breed.
Absolutely. Would they have one dog with one cart? Surely a herd.
A herd? A herd of dogs? What's this, Lowry? I love it. A herd of dogs and a pack of cattle. We've got a farmer in our midst. So the cheese dog was, it was known locally as a cheese dog. But it's probably just one. Again, you probably have your one or two dogs if you're a poor farmer. Anyway, so the breed was sort of an ancient breed, and it sort of developed. But however, in the late 19th century, it was verging on the extinction because there were many other dog breeds of sort of herding dogs of that time. However, a innkeeper of the day went around Switzerland and picked up many really high specimens and kept the breed going. Mm. And then so in 1907, the breed really came back in with population. And then it was in America, it was registered in 1937. And it is a member of the working group. As we can see, mm-hmm. it's a herding, mm. it works on the farm. And it's become very popular. Now, in German-speaking countries, it's always been a popular dog. But in recent years in the US, it's become far more popular. Like, in the UK, we would never really see them at all.
No, I wouldn't, no. actually.
No, you wouldn't. And I think... I can't talk about the UK, but since being a dog owner, but even just being in Chicago, I've noticed far more Bernese Mountain Dogs around.
Went from one to two.
Ash. But in 2010, it was the 40th most popular dog breed, and now it's the 20th, so it's in the top 20. Wow. And you can see why. So when you look at the temperament, there is nothing wrong with this dog in any shape or form. It's loyal, affectionate, loving, friendly to strangers, excellent with kids, excellent with animals. It's intelligent. Stanley Coren's, when they do the intelligence of dog, it's the 22nd most intelligent dog, so it's trainable. It likes the outdoors, so you can go, if you're a runner, you can go for a run with it if you like the hikes. However, it's also known as a bit of a couch potato. Mm. So once it's had its run, etc., it comes in and slops on the sofa and you've got a sort of a house dog. So it's very good. It's very... what's the word, like, easy, flexible as a dog breed. However, so then I was looking at, well, what are the cons of this dog?
Mm.
Now, there are two which you could see as a con, and there's one which I would say is a major con.
Okay.
So the first one, which we don't particularly like, is it is a heavy shedder.
Yes, I was going to say, if it's a couch potato, is it shedding all over that couch?
Yeah, and that's going to be a hairy couch potato. and it does shed a lot. Again, if you look after that breed and you're brushing it regularly, it should sort of... prevent that constant shedding everywhere. It doesn't do that well in heat. And Chicago, that may be why there's a lot in Chicago, but our Chicago summers are hot.
They are, yes.
Like when we take Margot for a walk and she has a hair coat, so she doesn't shed and we have to clip it ourselves. At the moment, she's very skinny. She's very trimmed because she gets a bit cold. But in the summer, when she's thick coat, she gets really hot and doesn't like it. So I bear to think we're Bernie's mountain dog.
Absolutely.
But again... which dogs don't suffer with the temperature? I don't like hot heat. I don't like cold. Do you see what I mean?
I know. I don't know. I mean, there's no dog that you can take out when it's really, you know, obviously the midday in the middle of summer, no dog should be outside.
Yeah, definitely. The biggest con, I'm going to say, and it's a sad con, actually, it's a medium to large-sized dog, and usually those sorts of breeds tend to live to 10 to 12 years old. The Bernese Mountain Dogs has an exceptionally low lifespan of to 6 to 9 years. It's low. And knowing I've had Margot for 2 years and I have the biggest... How attached am I to Margot?
I mean, ridiculously so,
it is. I am pathetic with her.
Yeah,
like,
you really are.
I look at parents who are like needy with their kids. I am like one of the... I understand where they're coming from now.
Well, we described the other day that we are teachers and you remind us of those parents that come into school
parent.
And think that their child is exceptionally talented when they're not.
Yeah, so the other day when we took Margot to the vet and they went... Your dog was so well behaved. I literally was like, that's my baby. She's really well. And then I told it to Trevor and I went, oh, Trevor, they said how well behaved Margot was. And he went, they say it to every single dog. And I was like, and then I got defensive. I was like, no, but I know Margot's really well behaved. Anyway, back to the Bernese. So funny enough, we're talking about life expectancy and our friend who's got an elderly aunt and he was telling us, because we were saying we're going to do the Bernese Mountain Dog as our first episode on season two. And he said, funny enough, my aunt's just gone and got a Bernese Mountain Dog. Mm-hmm. And a stipulation why she chose the Bernese Mountain Dog was the short life expectancy. And I went, what do you mean? And he said, because she's elderly, she does not want to die before this dog and have to put it in a home or find it. She said, well, if I know I get a short life expectancy, I'm going to outlive this dog.
So she's racing the dog to death.
I know. It's like, who wins? I mean, it's slightly morbid.
It is morbid.
And I can see why that would put people off. Like, Schnauzers, they've got, like, I've had two before Margot and they live till 15. And you're thinking, right, even now I look at it, I'm like, God, I've only got 13 years left of you. If I had a Bernese Mountain Dog...
She'd be a third of the way through her life, potentially.
A third of the way, yeah, potentially. And I think that's really something if you're going to consider this dog breed as the many attributes, and they are amazing attributes, is the life expectancy. Yeah. We're going to talk about mixed breeds with the Bernese in a bit. But Ash is been doing his research, has spoken to Trevor on the health of the Bernese Mountain Dog. Now, Ash isn't a vet, but he's done substantial research. So, Ash, tell us a bit about the breed, the health of this breed.
Okay, so they are generally healthy in their short lifespan until they're not.
Okay.
To be a bit morbid. In general, kind of what you touched on, George, you need to take a lot of care to prevent heat stroke in the summers. But overall, most of their health issues come down to increased risks for the big dog.
Like that's the elbow and that's the joints. That's quite
exactly.
a common thing in the big
yeah.
dogs.
So there are six most prevalent illnesses and diseases. Mm-hmm. The top being canine hip dysplasia, as right. you said, with the hips, which is often common in large breeds, which will often lead to arthritis, but the symptoms may not present for years.
And they don't survive.
So but that's not the death thing, though. That's not why they've got a short life expectancy.
It is part of it.
Okay,
it
so is. Why... I don't... Obviously, you might not know this, but carry on. I don't. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll get there, George.
I'll get there.
Don't you worry.
Yeah. and they might have a short life expectancy, but they've got a long list.
It is hereditary as well in Bernese Mountain Dogs.
So it's making sure you choose a really good breeder that's done all the checks.
If you do go to a breeder, yes, you should check that that it is a good, healthy lineage. And then the second is elbow dysplasia. So another form of dysplasia.
Gosh, they like a dysplasia.
They do. And like canine hip dysplasia, it is also common in large breeds and also hereditary. They can kind of lead, it's due mostly to developmental abnormalities in the early age, which then leads to malformation and degeneration in the elbows. Mm. But with that, symptoms usually come on very quickly and they will present between 4 to 10 months.
I just had a revelation that dogs have elbows.
Well, I just sat there and Lowry was... can I just talk about elbows? Lowry was starting to do these movements next to me. I thought she was going to break out into a dance. And then as though she was doing some hip, like, and down, as though she was on the musical
doing
video Physical. And I was like, what are you doing? And then she's come out with this revelationary comment.
I would like to hear more about the image you had where you were basically doing bicep curls as a dog.
Yeah. I was watching Margot and I was like, oh my gosh, how is she going up and down? And you were talking about elbows and I just don't associate dogs and elbows.
Okay, well, this is why we're doing...
Yeah, I wouldn't associate dogs and elbows either.
It doesn't really cross my mind that often. I am so pleased you're on this podcast because you literally haven't got a clue about dogs. Trevor would be in shock. Shock. I'm with amateurs here. Dancing amateurs. Sorry, Ash, while your wife interrupts you with some dance routines about elbows. Let's go.
So number three is some actually do not have elbows.
What? They've got no elbows!
Contrary to popular belief.
Lowry, you might have been right all along. What do you mean they don't have elbows?
I was completely joking.
Oh, Ash! What is Ash like? Sorry about this, listeners.
Okay.
Right. Where's Trevor when you need him? Okay, Ash.
Bringing it back.
Bringing it back to elbows.
So the third is progressive retinal atrophy. So to go from a joyous topic, this is when...
Okay.
This is an inherited eye disease.
Sorry. We're talking about this poor breed's life expectancy and laughing. Okay, so what...
What happens? The retina degenerates.
But does this cause, like, the short life... What is the thing that sort of
The
is?
Other two do, and I'll get into why, but this one doesn't necessarily harm the life expectancy, but it... It does cause impaired vision and often blindness as years get on. There are kind of two forms, early and late onset, where the early onset obviously happens at the 3 months old mark, and then the late onset happening like in 3 to 5 years old, so kind of towards the end of the life expectancy. And then the fourth is Von, I have no idea how to say this, Von Willebrand's disease.
Okay.
Progressive retinal atrophy, there is actually no cure.
Right.
And it's the most common hereditary blood clotting disorder in dogs. So basically, if they could get a small cut, that might result in excessive bleeding. However, you can give your dog a DNA test to see if they have this.
That's good to know.
And
but
it's
what
typically.
What if you find out they did? What are you going to do then?
It's
no cure, I guess.
Surgery like may not happen or may be done in a different way.
You
like,
just be overprotective, I think.
Yeah,
oh, I
it
see.
Just impacts
okay.
the treatment for yeah. other things. And then number five is cancer, of which there is no real cure.
And they're very susceptible to cancers.
They
and
are
that
very
is a
susceptible.
Huge reason why their life expectancy is so low because,
yeah.
you know, they're very susceptible to it.
It's not just the... it's also the type of the cancer. So the specific cancer that they're susceptible to is called histiocytosis.
Right.
And I won't go in too deep to what that is, but it's hereditary and it's actually extremely rare in other breeds, but it's the most common cancer in Bernese Mountain
That's
dogs.
So, and is there, can they do a test before, the you know, when you go to a breeder, or is it just pot luck, really?
I'm not sure, but if it's hereditary, I would imagine so, but I don't know, like, how far it gets to the point in how many things should you be testing for. Although it does seem like this breed does need to be tested for a lot of things.
And looking over at that, it's 25% of this cancer cases all in Bernese Mountain Dogs. So it's just really making sure that you can sort of get those. If I think I was going to get to the dog breeds, if you would wrap this up, would you say get the dog breed tested for these things we've just mentioned?
Yes, so there are actually a few recommended health tests from the Bernese Mountain Dog Club of America, and they suggest that you do a hip evaluation, an elbow evaluation, an ophthalmologist evaluation, a cardiac exam, and that Von Willebrand's disease DNA test.
And hopefully, if it's becoming more popular and you're doing those tests, hopefully that would breed out these, you know, these diseases,
yeah.
these hereditary things, which, you know, with purebreds are quite common. But if they're finding out the best breeds, etc., to stop this, because if they're becoming such a popular breed, people won't want them having such a
right.
short life expectancy. So hopefully, unlike when a breed becomes popular, you know, they become saturated and they get worse illnesses. Hopefully this will stop it because naturally people want their dog to live as long as possible.
Yeah, and I think part of it in why that lifespan is so short in the first place is probably what you were saying about the dog breeder kind of bringing it back to life and having only so many specimens. Perhaps
yeah.
like at that point you couldn't really
pick you know,
and
you
choose.
Had a select few and they had, yeah that's probably, yeah.
But in terms of why the Bernese Mountain Dog lifespan is so short, first of all, as we talked about, the higher cancer risk. Half of all Bernese Mountain Dogs succumb to cancer.
That's crazy.
That is much higher than the incidence of death in many other breeds. So in other dogs, it's one in four.
Yeah.
Dog breeders were more concerned with appearance than with health in
right.
the early days, with a lot of other dogs, really. And the proclivity for limited mobility ailments that can cause discomfort and trouble walking often, unfortunately, leaves with such pain that they have to be put down.
Oh, yeah.
Because that can happen so early on. Mm. That's pretty much
I
it.
I mean, it's a very... It's a sad realisation that this dog has had, you know, and they're all hereditary.
Mm.
So it's genetic and it's sort of like, hopefully with breeders, they can try and breed some sort of... you know, get some breeds together that don't have these hereditary illnesses. But that's interesting. Thank you so much for that, Ash.
Very
and
welcome.
Well done for the first go.
Oh, thank
Excellent.
You.
Excellent. And well done for pronouncing those very hard words. So, back to our game, which is the national dog breeds of each country. Now, I'm not sure how this is going to go on that much longer because there's not as many countries that have a national dog breed. But however,
okay.
we have our three. I'm going to tell you, and it is a wife versus husband.
Right.
Here we go. Yay. Everyone in.
Going down.
The country which I'm going to talk to or ask you for the national dog breed. Now, I'm going to start with you, Ash.
All right.
Netherlands.
Mm.
Okay, what do you think? If you're not sure, you can always just say the Netherlands Mastiff.
Okay.
But I wouldn't say that.
I'm going to take a gamble, and I'm going to say the Great Dane.
So why did you choose the Great Dane? Because it's got Dane, which is Denmark.
Yeah, but it's kind of in that area.
It is. It's actually a German breed. And actually, I believe it's the national dog of Germany, if you listened to the last podcast. They can share, but you're not right. Lowry Cavelli-Phillips.
Oh, God. The Netherlandish Terrier.
I love it. You are wrong in every sense. It's the Keys Hound, which is this big, fluffy... I had my careers advisor when I was at school have in your case a herd of key hounds, but actually a pack of key hounds. Okay, one country that is in the news recently, Belarus. I'm going to start with you, Lowry Cavelli-Phillips. Do you want a little clue? A little clue. Yes. It's got a T in there.
Does it have elbows?
This
or
one
knees.
Does have knees and
four
elbows.
Knees or four elbows.
Yeah. It's one of both of yours. Favourite breeds, because when we go to the dog park, there's one in particular, and you always go, oh, I love that breed.
A Saluki.
No. You'll get it.
I know, a Borzoi.
A Borzoi! Oh. So we see a Borzoi when we go to the dog park. Larry and Ash come to us when we walk Marco. This Borzoi is gorgeous. It's like a floating ghost. It's bright white. It's amazing. It's a really attractive dog. Even though when you see it on pictures, it doesn't seem as attractive, but the way it walks.
So elegant.
This is a very easy one. Malta.
Maltese.
Oh, I was going to give Ash the first go, but all right, Larry's jumped in there. And correct, it's the Maltese. But you got Borzoi, you got Maltese, 1-1.
It's a tiebreaker.
It's a tiebreaker. Okay, now, we're going to be looking at dog names. Oh, do we do dog names or do we do celebrities that have a Bernese Mountain Dog?
We do both.
But what do you want to do first? You decide, Miss Lowry Cavelli-Phillips.
Okay, well, if we're keeping this part in, I will go straight into the dogs who are the people who own Bernese Mountain Dogs.
So you did your research?
I did a little bit of research, yes. So we have the highly esteemed Hilary Duff.
Hilary Hills.
Where's she gone, Lily?
I don't know.
Buried under her dog. Yeah.
Okay.
We have also Blast from the Past, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
It's funny they chose Sarah Michelle Gellar and not Freddie Prinze Jr.
Does he have one?
Well, they're married, aren't they?
Oh, are they?
Freddie Prinze Jr. and Sarah Michelle.
I have no idea who either of those people are.
She was off Buffy the Vampire. Yeah, they're married. Okay.
Buffy and Duffy. Both got one.
Yeah.
Courtney Cox.
Oh, so quite famous people.
90s throwback. But
yeah, they're all 90s.
Felicity Huffman.
How does she look after it when she's in prison?
That's an excellent question, but it probably died.
slightly morbid. Is that why she chose it? Because she knew she was going to go to prison?
There we go.
Theory me.
And then... William H. Macy.
Her husband. Her husband. Obviously, someone doesn't know celebrities that well. So her husband also has a Bernese Mountain Dog.
I wonder if it's the same one.
It's the same Bernese Mountain Dog. I gave Lowry to do that research, and she doesn't know celebrities. Great. Freddie Prinze Jr. So actually, anyway. So we might be actually swapping over Lowry Cavelli-Phillips and asking Hilary Duff to come in. She needs a bit of work. Anyway, dog names. Now, I love talking about dog names, and Margot's always been my favourite girl's name, but the top... So, I'm actually... Usually, I do the top three boys and top three girls' name, but I'm going to do the top five boys' name for a Bernese Mountain Dog and the top five girls' names, and I think... I quite like them.
Can we guess a couple?
Oh, yeah, guess a couple, then.
Okay, I think there's got to be in there Bear.
Okay, what about you, Ash?
Bernie.
That was number six. Oh, that's a good one. So actually, number one is Bear for a boy. Then it's Moose.
Oh,
bit of an
like
animal
that.
Theme. Winston, Gus, and Max. I like Gus.
Gus is cute. Gus.
And girls don't.
Oh, is there a Bella and a Luna?
Bella and Luna are number one and number two.
Right.
Then it's Bailey, Lucy, and Stella. I find... We're looking at getting another dog, Joshua and I, and I find girls' names really... I like old girls' names, like Doris, Dorothy, Delia, not so much Etta. But yeah, so... just chuck that one out there. So I like those old, like Barbara, Gloria. But I find boys' names so much easier to choose for a dog.
Yeah.
Yes, I think so. I think...
But do you know what? Funny enough, we've had a few friends who've had kids, and girls' names seem to be easier than boys' names.
Yeah, I think this is a more, I would say, masculine-looking dog as well.
But it's also sort of like a traditional-looking dog that sort of has this sort of golden retriever look. Do you know what I mean?
You want something a little bit floppy, a little bit cuddly, that kind of sense to it. And I think, you know, Barbara...
I think Barbara the Bernese. I think Babs. Babs, get over here. Anyway, what would you go for? A boy and a girl.
Do you know, I did not think about this ahead of time. I like bear, but it is obviously very common.
But if you like it, you go for it.
Moose. I did like moose.
Moose is cool.
Yeah, but again, something a bit kind of floppy, a bit of a Fred.
Okay.
You know, just something kind of a bit.
So what are you going to go for? You've got Bernese in front of you, a little boy puppy. What's the one?
I'm going to go Freddy.
Freddy and a girl?
Frida.
Oh. Great. Okay. And Ash, would you agree with your wife, Freddy and Frida?
Yeah.
No, you can't just say that for an easy life. What would you go for a boy?
I don't think you know me very well then. Yeah.
So, what would you go for?
I don't know. If I could get away with it, I'd go with more inanimate object names.
Like what?
I spent so much time thinking about these things and I could never come to a conclusion. So we'd end up with a Fred and a Frida or
whatever.
When
you say inanimate object?
What, table?
It's really hard to think because we left the quiz on a draw. And I can't really concentrate knowing that we left it without someone winning.
Yeah. Well, you could win by coming up with a name, because at the moment, Harry's winning, because she's got a name.
All right. I like Moose.
Okay, Moose.
Okay, not
and
animate,
for
but...
a girl... all right, I will go out of it then.
Yeah, for a girl, Moosey. Do you want Lowry's done?
Yeah, I'll go for a Moosey.
So I would go for... Guys, I've got good names. These were pathetic. I really like Barbara. Barbara the Bernese. I think that's really cute. And a boy, even before I saw Gus, it looks like a Gus. Mm-hmm. I thought a Gus or Ernest, that's sort of like a cozy traditional name. I really like those
ones.
Ulysses. Or Branwell. So I spoke to Larry. We were talking about names that have become extinct in the UK. And Branwell is an extinct. But I think Branwell would go quite cute with a...
Yeah, a little Branny.
Branny, yeah. Bran or Wellwell, yeah.
Bran is a really nice name.
Bran would be a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, so our big... question. And we actually have Lowry's husband here, and we've already realised that he just has to go along with Lowry. But pretend Lowry wasn't here. Pretend you didn't have to agree with everything Lowry says and make out that dogs don't have elbows just to keep Lowry happy. Let's ask Lowry first. Actually, no. Let's ask you first, okay. Ash. So don't look at Lowry because she's going to influence you with her eyes, giving you evil eyes to make sure you make the right thing. Would you go for a Bernese Mountain Dog? If yes, why? If no, why?
I probably would.
Right.
I really like the dog. I like bigger breeds. I'm not really fazed by the shorter span of life. I'd be a bit concerned about the health issues.
As in the price of it, because it would end up being quite expensive.
Yeah, the price.
Very logical there.
But I feel like it would be a good way to level set and prepare Lowe's for that big of a dog and then kind of go in with what I really want, which is like a greyhound.
Oh, okay.
See,
so you would say yes?
I probably would, yeah.
Okay, Lowry Cavello Phillips. Mm-hmm. Is this going... I can't even remember from season one what went on your list.
No, it was a greyhound.
A greyhound.
Which we used to own.
I'm sure there's another one that went on there. We have to go back and look at these, hear these podcasts.
There's one with an asterisk, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah, there's many. What are you going to go for, yes or no?
No.
Why?
Shedding.
I would forgive the shedding in this one because... So our friends has a golden retriever and they have it professionally groomed where they don't really shed as much, even though I'm quite anti-shedding as it is. I couldn't go for it for the short life expectancy.
Right.
And I think that's become a real thing for me since having Margot. I literally can't... It makes me feel sick thinking the day that she goes.
Mm.
And it's going to be sooner than... I want it to be. And imagine getting attached to a dog so close.
Mm.
And like Margot's two. And if it was a low life expectancy, I'd have 4 years left of this dog that I've bonded with. I think I'd really struggle. Everything else, I wouldn't really care about the shedding. I wouldn't really care about the dog breed. And one thing I was going to mention, we do see a lot of Bernard Doodles. Mm-hmm. So Bernard Doodles, our friend has a Bernard Doodle, and they stop the shedding and their life expectancy is long. Mm-hmm. So would you be tempted to go for something like a Bernard Doodle that has the temperament of a Bernese but doesn't have the short life expectancy and shedding?
I would, however, I would be wary about going for those mixed designer breeds in general. Personally, you know, we went for a rescue dog last time. Those kind of designer mixes,
okay.
I'm not sure about, you know, in terms of the health mixing there, but also just the kind of ethical part of doing that.
Okay. Well, Ash, your first time, and we'll be seeing you again next episode, which I'm looking forward to. But thank you, Lori and Ash.
Thank you.
And thank you. Goodbye.